and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. We are recovering from running the Malifaux GT the past weekend.
The largest ever Malifaux event in the world.
Ever!
Well, until next year when we run a bigger one.
I was going to say yes, at the moment.
Yes. Now, to be fair, there have been events that have attracted more players, but for a single tournament, it was the biggest. Because Adepticon has had more players.
Yes, but that's spread over.
They've been split over five different events.
Yeah, that doesn't count. And besides, they're Americans.
Yeah, who I like.
Well, I don't dislike them. The Welsh, so that's a different matter.
So, as you'll have gathered, I'm joined by Lee.
Hello.
That's his posh telephone voice.
Apparently.
Yeah, people like it. And I'm joined by Matt.
Wagwan.
Who, if you don't know, is a new permanent member of the Malifaux podcast. Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you very much. That's if we get... in theory, we're recording, as we speak now, tomorrow night, which will be Wednesday, which is the normal Malifaux recording slot. So we'll just have to see how that goes and see how the reaction is. And if I'm vilified, then I don't care. I'll do it even more.
So how do we get you off it?
You what?
How do we get you off the show?
Bribery and presents. The usual ways.
Okay, cool. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
I hope it all goes well.
Yes. As with all of this recording shenanigans, other than when I record with hoodlums, I will have to try and curb my usual colourful vernacular, because one discussion we have had is to maintain the non-explicit rating for Malifaux, being the premier Malifaux podcast. I've got to be a good boy.
And it actually ties in with something that I've been thinking about. So anyway, so we're all back from the Malifaux GT. 66 player tournament in the end. I was nominally lead organizer. You two were my valiant henchmen.
Well, I was a carrying donkey.
Well, you were.
Yeah.
Lee was far more important than that. Yeah.
Well, he is. He's got the secret handshake and everything.
I think it went very well.
Yeah.
Well, in my unbiased view, I thought we were, not nearly swore then, I thought we were flipping awesome.
You know, it went mainly smoothly. We dealt with various people dropping out.
Yep.
On the Sunday, we dealt with people turning up late or hungover.
But
you know, we didn't really have a problem with scores.
No.
Even though when we fired up the spreadsheet, something had gone horribly wrong, we were able to fix it and get it running. I thought, on the whole, it went very well, and certainly seems to have been well received by the punters, which I suppose is all you can hope for.
Yeah, I mean, I've assisted you kind of running MCC and been around for some other ones that have been kind of up and around the 28 to 30 mark. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was anxious with whether, you know, the time delay between rounds would be twice as long, because, you know, from ones that I've attended, that can be a significant sticking point if there's a slow process to getting the scores in. I don't know how the players felt, but that seemed to be managed fairly well between, well, you and Lee, because you had your two laptops in tandem just in case of some sort of critical error. But it seemed to tick along fairly well. There certainly didn't seem any untoward delays between rounds, which is something I know that can be frustrating as a player.
Yeah, I mean, we ended up running on the Saturday, we ended up running 20 minutes long on the day.
Which for four games is, for 66 players, is pretty good going, in my opinion. I've been to other events where there's 30 players and we've overrun by significantly more than that.
And on the Sunday, we were actually took less time.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason for us running along on the Saturday is because we moved some things around. Due to the generosity of various sponsors, we had an absolutely brilliant raffle, so that every attendee got a good prize. And we decided to do that on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And even that didn't seem to drag that much, because they weren't getting to choose, I think.
Yeah, because it was, you decided what, you know, you, between the two of you, one of you picked up a prize, and the other person, was it Matt, you picked up what it was, didn't you?
Yeah.
And Mike called a ticket, and for those people that hadn't given their ticket away for a Jack and Peter at dinner time, got something nice.
Yeah. So I thought that worked very well. What did you think about food? So we should say, I mean, we were at the Folk Hall in York, which is the home of York's Garrison Club, and we couldn't have done it without them at all.
No, I mean,
it was Chris and Ben, wasn't it?
Chris and Ben were absolutely stalwart all weekend.
Yeah, so Chris is the local Malifaux henchman. A member of Garrison, and he helped us out massively on the ground beforehand, making sure that there was going to be the tables and things. And Ben is the chairman, I think he is, of Garrison War Club. And he doesn't play Malifaux, but he hung out for the 2 days just to make sure that everything went really smoothly.
Yeah, I mean,
and they were both absolute stars.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ben worked for a non-Malifaux player, worked really hard, kind of underpinning the logistical effort of making sure people got their lunch, organising the bacon butty runs and all of that sort of thing. He was an absolute star.
Yeah, especially considering he was horrendously jet-lagged.
Because
he'd just flown back from Nashville.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, he was also... anyone who was on the top tables on the first day, or when we reversed it on the last... You know, on the bottom tables. Because it was a struggle for them to get to the bar, he was actually doing drinks orders and running around for them as well.
Yeah.
So and it was. I thought the venue was really good.
Very good.
It's got plenty of free parking. It's easy to get to. It's a big hall, but it's not too noisy because it's got a very high ceiling.
Yeah.
What did you think of the food?
I see. I, as anyone who knows me, will know I am a fussy person, or what is it you normally called me when we're talking about food?
Food Nazi.
That's the one.
Oh, I was so retard, but no, okay.
No, that's just the other thing, Spin.
That's just generally.
I must admit, I contacted them a couple of weeks before we went, and because at the time, that was when I was still playing, and... sort of said, you know, I've not got mass dietary requirements. I just don't want to eat rubbish.
Mm.
So I sort of asked, is there a possibility of having a healthy option?
Yeah.
And they were very good. They told me that they had a buffet one day and it was kind of set to that buffet. But the other day they'd try and do a jack of potato. And in the end, it turned out that we all had jack of potatoes on the first day, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was quite good, really, because if you think about that was the day people had the option to go to the brewery where there was another buffet. So I thought the jacket potato was very nice. Good selection of options that you could have with it, and I was very impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the food was superb, and the staff at the Folk Hall were also, you know, very friendly, very accommodating, considering they had, you know, 66, largely with a few exceptions, kind of fat, hairy men there. You know, they opened the bar for us and had the bar staffed for the majority of both days. And I thought, well, it was really good. It just seemed to hit the mark quite nicely, both on the busier day of the Saturday. You know, it was a bit simpler because it was a jack of potato with a choice of fillings, you know, and it was a hot or warm buffet on the second day, but we had slightly more time. And there was plenty of it as well, which I think that's the one thing that Chris has sort of said about the Saturday evening event, is the buffet wasn't enough.
Yes.
And, you know, we went a bit light on food there because of the aforementioned big fat hairy men not being satisfied with like two tiny sandwiches and half a spring roll. So there was much gorging that sort of took place.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought the venue was good. We're going to do it again next year. Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, we're working on nailing the dates and stuff down. But no, I thought it worked very well.
I mean,
now,
you've already mentioned the acoustics, but for me, that was possibly one of the best things about that venue. And you know, whether it's a combination of the high ceiling or just the way it was laid out. Bear in mind, we had you know practically 70 people in the hall. With you know that level of ambient noise in other venues where you've had half as many, it can get really problematic to hear your opponent. But that certainly didn't seem to be the case there. The acoustics for the number of people there were superb. I thought it was a really good venue.
I thought, considering there was what more than double from Malifaux, you know, like you said, the hall was better. You could hear your opponent clearer, and it now sort of makes me wonder whether or not you know other tournaments and stuff you could. If I look at something, whether or not where we were with Malifaux will be the right place for the next one.
Yeah. It was good. Now, it's not to say that there weren't issues.
No.
There will always be issues.
There will always be issues. And as it gets closer to the end of the tournament and games become more important, you get more issues. Certainly on the Saturday there were very few judge type calls that had to be made, but as Sunday rolled around they certainly got to be more. But there was one major thing that came, I mean the major thing that came up actually occurred post tournament, and I thought we should talk about it and why we made the decision that we made on it. So the issue we had done the all the awards, we'd handed out the trophies, we'd packed everything up, and having learnt from many years of running tournaments, we made everyone help pack up before we gave out the trophies.
Yep.
So the room was cleared and everyone had packed everything away. So we gave out the trophies. We drive the 4 hours drive home. And I get in and five for some. I get in and I find this stream of messages from one of the people who'd been on the final table, saying that he'd been talking about the game with his mates in the car on the way home, as you do, and he reckoned that his opponent was over pointed. In his army,
yeah,
crew. Now, that's not a great thing to have happen, and so I said to Ben, and it was Ben Crow, mm-hmm. Who's you know one of the top Malifaux players in the UK. I said to him, was he 100% sure that that was what had been used against him? Because you don't want to make accusations and things. Without that. And Ben said, no, I'm 100% sure. I said, okay, right, leave it with me. Now, my normal policy is once the scores are in, that's it. The game's done.
Yeah.
So no coming in a couple of days later saying, oh, my opponent X made a mistake. Or even if you were the thing, I made a mistake, it should have been, you know, this instead, and can you award my opponent the points and stuff? Once the scores are in, and effectively that's why we have people come up as a pair.
Yeah,
you know, it's the agreed result stands. However, given that this was the final table of the GT, I sort of made the arbitrary decision, and I sort of had to make it arbitrarily because, you know, everyone else is still travelling about, that I would investigate what had happened. Because I didn't want the event to be marred by, you know, this, I, and I'm not saying that this would have happened, but there would have, you know, an undercurrent.
Yeah.
If you will. So I spoke with Joel Henry, who, you know, has been on this show and obviously is on Malifaux. who is a clubmate of the guy who won, which is a guy called Graham. And we went through the list that Ben said he was using. And when we added it up, it did indeed come to more than 50 points. So Joel went away and he talked with Graham, and Graham instantly said, "Bugger." He may have used strong language, but
yeah,
I've made a mistake. No, I was over points. And then he messages me and he says, "Mike, I'm so sorry. Over points. I'm going to go out and onto Twitter, because obviously a lot of the UK community use Twitter, and say that I've done this and I apologize and all this." So basically, he was completely stand up.
Yeah.
No excuse. Oh no, I haven't.
Yeah,
No excuses. Nothing. I mean, literally straight away. No, I've made a mistake. And so then I'm in the position that I have to decide what's going to happen. And so I looked at what would happen with the results, and I decided, well, if you're over in a game, that game, you know, the game's null and void, basically. So you have to award a 10-0 win to the opponent. So basically, I disqualified Graham from that game, so he got no points for that game, and gave Graham 10 points.
Ben,
10 points. Yes, no, you're right. I didn't take 10 points away from Graham and then give them back to him just for a laugh. And basically the result was that Graham and Ben swapped places. So that Ben ended up winning and Graham ended up in third. And that... I still think that that was the fairest way to do it. I don't think that... I couldn't... Now, obviously, I could have said no, tough. The scores are on the door.
Yeah,
but you know, I didn't really want to do that with something that affected the top three placings.
Yeah,
I could have said Graham was disqualified from the whole event.
Yeah,
which frankly seemed a little harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just disqualified from that thing. Now, Graham and Ben have both been on Twitter in the past couple of days talking about the incident, and as far as I'm concerned, they both come out of the incident with their reputations enhanced.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
You know, Graham has conducted himself exceptionally well, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben has conducted himself exceptionally well.
Yeah.
It
could have played out significantly differently if they hadn't been both such gentlemen.
Yeah, and in fact, Graham is going to come to the Gunsmiths tournament at the end of this month,
mm-hmm,
to hand over the trophy personally.
Yeah,
and to apologise face to face, which, again, it's just a sign of class as far as I'm concerned. Now, I don't know. Now, I've been in Warhammer tournaments where mistakes have been made and they've had to exchange tournaments afterwards, you know, often caused by, you know, maybe a spreadsheet error or something.
Yeah.
And getting trophies off people has proven difficult. So I think it's a mark of a really good sign for the UK community that the incident basically passed without any rancor.
Yeah. And for all of the robust joshing and you know, the smack talk and all of that that we get on Twitter, which, you know, could, from an outsider looking in, be interpreted as a community that isn't as friendly as it is, I think it's also a mark of the respect that the community has for itself and the players that are within it as well. And I know, you know, I did do my usual slightly saccharine laden kind of tweet about how great I think the Malifaux community is. But to my mind, everything that happened over the weekend and since, you know, really shows what a great community it is. Because you're absolutely right. I mean, in other communities, it would not have played out that way at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you guys have done anything different, do you think?
No, I think... I know we exchanged sort of DMs sort of briefly on Sunday evening when we got back. And I was with you. It was exactly the right and best way to do it.
I must admit, I wouldn't have changed anything you did. I was kind of outside on the loop because by the time I'd read the messages and got into it, Graham had just tweeted. So, you know, my extra journey home sort of took me out of all of it. But I can't think of anything else you could have done differently.
I mean, would you have disqualified him from the event?
No, not for that.
Okay.
Especially since, you know, he put his hands up nearly instantly. Well, as far as I can tell, nearly instantly.
As soon as it was pointed out, to him, you know, as you said, Mike, there was no, oh yeah, but it was because of this, or trying to manipulate anything around it. You know, it was that kind of genuine approach of, oh my God, I've made a really bad error. And clearly there was no intent there either. So I think the decision was absolutely sound. And you know, I think it was the right one. I think as such, it's been wholly received by the community generally and those that were there as the right choice as well.
Yeah, I do think it has been. So that was one major incident. We had to make a couple of referee calls.
Yep.
That weren't necessarily popular with everybody.
No.
But I'm still with hindsight. Now, one of the things that, for people who listen to this show who don't play Malifaux, one of the things that you do in Malifaux is that you have certain objectives within the game. You have to nominate an opponent model or one of your own models.
And sometimes
depending on
both.
What you're doing. That's true, sometimes both. And we had a situation arise where a player had done one of those objectives and hadn't written down the model. And the other player was miffed about this and so asked for a ruling. And so basically we had to rule that you couldn't get the points for that objective because you hadn't fulfilled the conditions of the objective by writing down the model. But with further conversations, that turns out to actually be quite common. Making the assumption. So certainly for my future events, I'm going to make changes to the score sheets.
Yeah.
So that there is a space in there for writing stuff down. And if you don't take that objective but want to bluff your opponent, then just scribble nothing in that box. to make them think about it. But I think I will do that.
Well, in fairness, that you know, in the strategy, it clearly states for those, the player secretly notes down the name of, whether it's one of your own models or one of your opponent's models. But the wording is very clear. And there are many ways that people will do it. Some people, and at some events, even where there isn't the space, generally there is enough space to just write the model that you're referring to. For those of us that have the various iterations of the Strat and Scheme cards, all of my Scheme and Strat cards are sleeved, so I can write on the front of the card the name of the model. And then when you're declaring it, you can just, you know, in effect, flip that card and it's got the name of the model that it's referring.
Yeah, I tend to actually indicate on the Scheme card as well.
Yeah. But yes, I have to admit, that was kind of the first call that I was aware of, or the first time I've been to a tournament where that call has had to be made by a TO, but certainly it would appear after the event that that's not the first time that that's occurred, and that it's not unique to that particular game with those two opponents, that it has been called, or it has been raised that other people have found themselves in that situation playing completely different people.
Yeah.
That's just trying to be as diplomatic as I can around.
No, you are right. It has that is a situation that's come up before. I think it's one of the pains of growing a scene. I think one of the very interesting things about Malifaux is, and where it is at the moment, is that we, the three of us, have all come in relatively early to the scene.
Mm.
And that we are seeing an explosive growth in the events. I mean, I think that was highlighted for me was on the Saturday. Joe, who basically was responsible, along with Dave Brown, for creating the Malifaux scene as it is now, dropped into for a surprise visit. And the amount of people who knew who she was compared with the amount of people who didn't know who she was was striking. There's not a lot of people in that room of 66 players who were playing when I started playing 2 years ago. And yet we're still pulling in bigger numbers.
I've been, what, a year and a half, which is half a year less than you?
Yeah.
I can see it now. You know, there are set names in there that I recognise and I read about on Twitter and started to see being, you know, when I first started. And, you know, the people that are adding to these and, the clubs and the groups inside of the community, which are growing as well, they're just full of numbers. I mean, even Joel will tell you that, what is he, 2.5 or 2 years in from now, from the GT?
Yep, something like that.
You know, even he'll say, you know, that there are people who have gone and three times as many people turn up.
Yeah. We just got to go back to that Malifaux episode where we went through that first round draw and the number of people that, between us, we didn't actually really know who they were. And that's not meant in any disrespectful way whatsoever, but they're people that have come into, and I use the words competitive play in some really big air quotes, but have come into the tournament scene in the last kind of 6 or 8 months that you might kind of vaguely be aware of the name, may have happened across them once, but certainly aren't some of the diehards that have been around for a long time.
Yeah, and that's especially, I mean, that's especially true for us because we travel a lot.
Yeah.
To
North and South kind of communities.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and yet there was loads of people that we didn't know, or we knew via Twitter, but we didn't know in real life.
Yeah.
It was quite nice. I had people that I've sort of spoken to on Twitter and a couple of other people who came up and sort of introduced themselves to me over the weekend and said, oh, you know, I've bought a crew board off you from Bendy Boards and, you know, or I've listened to you before on sort of different podcasts that you've been on. And it's a bit sort of, it's a bit strange really to think that these people, you know,
love you.
No, they don't love me, Spoons.
Okay. They were just,
they were just asking what was the safe distance to stay away from you were.
Yeah, well, that depends on the injunction.
Yeah. But, you know what I mean? To think that the community is growing in that way and putting names to faces and Twitter names and things like that was great.
Yeah, no, it was excellent. I mean, so the other thing, the last thing that I wanted to bring up on is... It's a slightly more controversial thing, and it probably applies to the gaming community more as a whole. And I don't know whether I'm just getting older and so being fussier or whatever. There was a lot of, and I was as guilty of it as anybody. So there was a lot of adult language at the event. And there were a lot of mentions of a phrase that I particularly disliked, which was, I got raped on the table, or the card deck raped me.
Yeah.
Now, one of the brilliant things I think about the GT was that we had James Winton and Maria were there. You know, James, 14-year-old kid with his mum and dad, who were all playing, did pretty well. Well, James did come bottom, but he seemed to have an absolutely smashing time.
Bottom.
And as I was coming home, I sort of made me feel it made me feel uncomfortable slightly. And I don't know if it's just me being old and fuddy-duddy. But if we're going to encourage an atmosphere that is going to bring in, you know, younger players and women players, etc. And, you know, again, this comes back to, you know, perhaps I should get Kathy on the show and talk to her about it, you know, about misogyny in gaming. It's not a rugby club.
No.
Yeah. Are we encouraging a young gentleman's society? You know, the drinking, the swearing and whatnot, or are we in the same right, are we pushing away potential people from having that?
Yes.
You know, are we making it worse? Are we making it harder for people to come into or less appealing to come into because of the language that we've pushed through? And
I've always had a problem with the use of the word rape in conjunction with games. For me, that's a very emotive word, so I dislike it. So I don't know. I mean, certainly, but I think as a TO, you have to sort of lead from the front. So I know certainly at the next events that I run, I'm going to make a conscious effort to moderate my language, so that at least I can criticize or tut at people despairingly with a cleaner conscience than I could have done this weekend.
It is a tricky one, and I am well aware that I can't in good conscience really comment on criticizing others for their language and vernacular and turn of phrase. But it is a valid point, and it's a tricky one. I don't know, because I don't suppose we're any better or any worse than any other gaming community.
No, I don't. No, I don't think we are. But should we be?
Yeah,
I think.
Can we be?
Is probably a better question.
Yeah, because I mean, should we be? Undoubtedly, yes. And even as possibly one of the most sweariest members of the community, I mean, between me and Panzer, I think we hold that kind of as a tied honour. Should we be? Without a doubt. Can we be? That's a personal challenge, and that's a personal discretion thing. I guess it's, and to put my work head on, it's about not necessarily whether you feel it's, you know, as a person that's saying it is particularly abusive or meant with any malicious intent, but actually it's about the people around you and how they interpret it.
Hmm.
And I guess that comes down to them perhaps player courage to mention it to the TO. Because I guess if somebody had come up to us, or even if somebody, and I've had it before when someone's come up and said, you know what? You're just going a little bit too far, then I absolutely take that on board. And I will apologise wholeheartedly if I cause anyone any offence, and I will then attempt to moderate my language. While I think I'm getting away with it, and particularly if people are laughing, then, you know, that's red rag to a bull for me. And I'm absolutely sure that the more sweary amongst us would adopt the same approach if challenged or spoken to by a TO, say, can you just moderate your language.
Is it a TO's place to say, you know, in an adult environment which is an adult environment, you know, selling alcohol, is it a TO's place to say, can you turn your language down? Because it's nothing to do with the game per se.
No. But it is about conduct at the tournament. And I fully understand what you're saying about, you know, adult responsibility and taking responsibility for your own actions. But if we genuinely want to elicit change and a change of culture, that will have to come from being driven by the TO.
Yeah.
If that's what we want to do. Because people will moderate their language. People will make an effort. But it's about, you know, if people are unhappy to make that challenge themselves to the person across the table, then to have a word in the shell like of the TO, I think, is not inappropriate. We do it for other things. You know, and I guess it's about that moral courage and the potentially the only other topic that I was going to mention, and I know that's a potential, if you pardon the pun, Pandora's box. But if you have concerns about someone's conduct, whatever that conduct is across the table from you, and you are unhappy to make that challenge, that's what the TO's there for as well. That's the responsibility you have for running an event, is if a player is making a complaint about someone that is legitimate, then as a TO, I guess you sign up to sort of say, well, in that case, I'll have that conversation, or I will hear the other side of that argument.
I suppose, actually, that's a fair way to look at it. I mean, it is that particular player, how they feel.
Yeah. Because I could sit across from Panzer and we would have the most obnoxious, and, you know, I'm in no way digging Panzer out, but we conduct ourselves very similarly, both on Twitter and in real life. We could have a conversation where we would use the most foul and abusive and disgusting language towards each other with no malicious intent whatsoever. But if I was playing against somebody else, I wouldn't conduct myself the same way because I wouldn't want to offend them. But what I don't always think about, and I'm fairly sure that there are others that, you know, would in good conscience also think, is they don't necessarily think about the other people that are in earshot or on the table that's just like 2 feet away from them. And I'm not saying, you know, we should all be angels, because perhaps we should be, but we can't be. But
yep.
It's a legitimate thought about, you know, conduct out in public. Because would we behave like that if we were walking around, you know, would we talk like that if we were walking around Tesco's? Or Waitrose, depending how posh you are.
I don't know, I have people do that for me.
Yes, you have the young Filipino boys going to collect your food for you. But it's about that moral courage.
No, it is. I hadn't thought about it. I must admit, I hadn't thought about it like that, but no, that's a...
Because that leads on to the other thing, which I know is being a bone of contention, and it's not necessarily about cutting decks, but one of the decisions that you kind of made at the beginning was around decks and the use of decks, and we made it very clear at the beginning that people have or had the opportunity to say to their opponent, if they were using a non kind of official weird deck or a deck that they weren't happy with their opponent using, they could call them on that and ask them to change decks. And we had a supply of spare decks that we could use.
Yep.
There had been a lot of talk around decks and deck manipulation and shuffling and cutting decks and that in the weeks up to the event. So I thought what you did was give people a legitimate avenue where they had concerns around that to make that call. We had 66 players for 6 games.
Yep.
To the best of my knowledge, not one person made that call of their opponent. But yet, we still then dealt with people's concerns, suspicions, and some dialogue about deck management.
Yep.
And to my mind, that falls in exactly the same remit about the moral courage to say to your opponent, either at the beginning or... And I know, you know, there are some people out there that when the deck is offered for a cut, they'll shuffle the deck. They won't just cut the deck, they will take it and they will shuffle it. About whether, and, you know, in fairness to Ben Sarmi, took a lot of... I'm just trying to think of
abuse.
The word. Abuse, yep. I was trying to think of a non-sweary word. About raising that point. And I think, to a degree, some of the stuff that he said was validated from the weekend. In the fact that, while in no way am I accusing anyone at the GT of cheating or card stacking or manipulating their deck, there was enough suspicion there and enough stuff that was spoken about between players to actually support what he said. that you should always cut the deck. You should always shuffle your opponent's deck.
Yep. And I must admit that after the weekend, I have done a complete 180 on that issue.
Yeah, likewise. I have to admit, and I hate to say that he was right, because when he hears it, he will undoubtedly tweet it to death. But Ben was right. It's not necessarily about believing that there's good or bad people out there, or assuming that everyone is right. But if everyone cuts their opponent's deck, if everyone takes the ability to shuffle their opponent's deck, then there is no opportunity for complaint around whether you do or don't think your opponent is manipulating their deck.
Which is a fair comment. And my only 2 pence into that is I had no problem with what Ben said or was trying to say. I just think when he said it, he didn't say it very well. He turned it into an accusation of something instead of saying, this is what we should be doing. And I think that's where Ben got the negativity back onto him. If he'd have said, you know, this is what I think this is done like this. But then he started bringing other things into it, which is where the Twitter argument started. Mm. I must admit, I agree with what Ben said, but I still don't cut decks. I still don't shuffle other people's decks. So, you know, I guess I have no right to comment on whether someone else, I believe someone's doing something wrong or not.
Yeah.
See, I don't like it. I don't like the fact that we're getting to a point in the scene where we're going to do it. But I do think as the scene grows bigger, that it will eliminate a lot of problems if the accepted etiquette is to just do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that the only way to get it to the accepted etiquette and not
what are
be...
you scraping?
I'm scraping figures.
It's really loud.
Sorry, I'll stop.
You're doing your no, aren't you?
I am doing my no.
Yeah.
I've built loads, and I was just I had to, there was one particular unit that needed some green stuffing, and so I green stuffed it, and I was just cleaning them up. Right, okay,
I sounded like you were rasping your toenails or something.
Okay, I've stopped.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, because you...
Right, and I've forgotten the serious point that I was making.
About the fact that it's sad that the community has to get to that point, but actually...
No, I don't know. No, sad is not the right thing, because that implies that there are major issues within the community, and I don't think there are.
No.
I think what it is I think as the community gets bigger, the way to prevent these sorts of issues really arising as we get bigger is to make it into an accepted part of the game.
It's the norm.
It's the norm, so that when you get new people coming to tournaments, you see people cutting around you. Now, I know that I make jokes about it's all about me, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously it isn't. But as a TO, I feel that if I'm going to say to people, you have to cut your decks, I have to practice what I preach.
Yeah.
So I will be at tournaments from now on cutting my opponent's deck and you know, probably shuffling my opponent's deck. Now, am I going to do it when I'm playing you two down the club on a Thursday night? Very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
I'm definitely...
Am I going to do it when I go to tournaments? Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's hypocritical. It's hypocritical for me to say, make sure everyone cuts their deck, and I don't do it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and I'm the same. I'm not somebody, and certainly even the couple of games over the weekend, I hadn't. In the first few games, but I started to by the end in the last couple of games I played, and that is in no way a reflection of the players that I was playing, but as I became like you, I became more sort of aware that the discussions were taking place, not with us as TOs, but amongst players. I fell in exactly that kind of mentality of, if everybody did this, there'd be a lot less of that discussion taking place.
And that's it. That's the key thing to avoid is nasty little undercurrents within the scene.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just
cut.
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, cut and shuffle. It's easy.
Yeah. So this turned into a much longer discussion than I thought it was going to be. And it was serious and everything.
Yes.
Oh. Well, I'm very sorry, gentle listener, that you've listened to 45 minutes of a chat about Malifaux. But this is the... Now I'm not on Malifaux, you see. This may happen occasionally.
Yeah.
And B, that we got all, like, serious and stuff.
Like grown up.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And in your face.
But to bring it back down to the normal level, though, Mike.
Are you going to, like, make a bum joke or something?
No, I was just going to say that Matt did get very drunk at the weekend and he still didn't fall down. So what does that prove?
He is a weeble.
I'm not a weeble. I didn't get very drunk.
Really?
No, I did not get very drunk. Although I did use my phone app last night and turned on the snoring application. And I'm really sorry, Lee.
Yeah.
You're like a grizzly bear.
Yeah, that would appear to be the case.
See, I think you were quite drunk.
No.
I'd have to agree.
You weren't I can't walk drunk. But then I would say that you were quite drunk, even though you were several pints behind me. Because you had taxi people about.
Yeah.
See, I'd have made them get a cab. Right, shall we go now?
We better head, otherwise we'll be here all night.
Yep. Right. Well, until next time, I've been Mike.
I've been Matt.
And I've been Lee.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.